Today is a special episode of PT Talker. It is our 100th, yes, I said 100th episode of PT Talker. And boy, have we grown. We've had a lot of people on. I want to thank everybody for helping us become have such a worldwide presence, as we have listeners throughout the world from Australia, England, a lot of the English-speaking countries, as well as so many great and loyal listeners from the physical therapy environment and industry that support us on PT Talker. So I want to say thank you, and my guest today is going to be a great one. This is a wonderful way to celebrate our 100th episode with Dr. Josh Bailey. Dr. Bailey, welcome to PT Talker.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, because your article really, really was interesting. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but let's first of all talk about you personally. You are one of the co-owners of Rehabilitation Associates of Central Virginia, and you've been doing that now for how long?
I've been here 14 years,
okay.
And so just recently moved into the president's role for our company, so it's a new challenge for me.
Congratulations. So kind of like a managing partner role type, is that
what it
was?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And you are obviously have a doctorate in physical therapy, orthopedic clinical specialist certification, and then several other things. Let's have you go through your other certifications as well.
Sure. I'm also a certified strength and conditioning specialist, as well as a certified pet orthist.
All right. You are a person, a physical therapist, that works only on the foot and ankle. And I will admit to you, there can't be that many of you around that only deal with the foot and ankle. Do you have any stats on that? Do you feel like you're somewhat of an anomaly?
Well, yeah, it's odd. And, you know, I don't know the exact number, but I can tell you that in the APTA, the foot and ankle special interest group is growing, although still quite small. We do meet every year, but it's not a lot of us that have a tendency to want to look at the feet all day long.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really interesting. You know, you talk about the foot and ankle specialist, and there are not a lot of you, but boy, are there a lot of patients out there with plantar fasciitis, heel pain, all those things. So I'll bet you're busy.
Yes, you know, that's a really nice feature of being a foot and ankle specialist. Since there aren't a lot of people that do it, you really revolve more around a physician-type model on scheduling. You know, I schedule, 3 or 4 months in advance, just because of the volume. So
yeah.
It's really good from the business perspective.
Yeah, and you also do lectures around the country on foot and ankle. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about that before we get into the meat of your article?
Sure. I teach an advanced course on evaluation and treatment of the foot and ankle with an emphasis on differential diagnosis. I felt that was an area that was a bit lean. And we talk about various physical therapy treatments, pet orthic treatments, foot orthotics, braces, shoes, and those types of things. And I teach through North American seminars. And I've previously done that for myself, but, time allotments now, North American Seminars does a nice job of getting me into localities to teach.
Sure. All right, I have got plantar fasciitis. What do I do? Can a physical therapist even help me?
Absolutely, a physical therapist can help you. And one, in my perspective, the first thing a physical therapist needs to do is determine if it truly is plantar fasciitis.
Is that common that it's misdiagnosed?
It's very common. And in my clinical practice, about 10 or 15% of the patients diagnosed with plantar fasciitis actually have plantar fasciitis.
And what's is there a common misdiagnosis or something that would tip me off as a physical therapist listening on the show right now that, wow, maybe this isn't plantar fasciitis, but I thought it was?
Sure. First of all, there's 72 things that mimic plantar fasciitis that produce pain in the heel upon initial weight bearing. And the most common, and at least in my practice, is a problem called heel pain syndrome, which is really a problem of the intrinsic musculature of the foot. The arch muscles are pulling on the attachment of the medial heel. That's the most common issue that I see.
And so what would you actually treat that syndrome differently than if you really did confirm it was plantar fasciitis?
Absolutely. A true fasciitis is an acute phenomenon. It's red and fiery, angry tissue. Whereas heel pain syndrome is a much more chronic nature, developing over months or years before the symptoms actually present themselves. So certainly from a modality perspective, using the acute anti-inflammatories, i.e. rolling your foot on an ice bottle, doesn't fix heel pain syndrome, doesn't even approach the chronicity of the problem. And then given its chronic nature, the large majority of the time there's some type of biomechanical limitation that drives it, a foot postural problem, a flexibility limitation, those types of things.
Okay, so let's revert back then to, number one, I'm glad to hear that there's something you can do for my plantar fasciitis, and we're going to get into that. But let's go back to your article. You seem to indicate that there is a lot of misdiagnosis, and of course, those diagnoses are coming to physical therapists. Are they? Is there something they can do if they feel like this really isn't plantar fasciitis, or how do you handle that in your practice?
I think that a lot of that depends on the rapport with whoever is referring to you, or if you're in a direct access state. Almost 50% of my patients come off the street, to me direct access. I think that once you determine what the causative factors are, it's their professional responsibility to communicate that with the referring physicians. And I've had really good success with just, having frank conversations. This is why I see what I see. And, most of the physicians are very, very responsive to that. And, their ultimate goal is they want their patient better.
Yeah.
And the faster you can make that happen, the happier they are.
Yeah.
And I've had good success by, not treating everything from a cookie cutter approach, if you will, and making a more accurate diagnosis and treating the tissue that's problematic.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the tips you can give our listeners about how to go about treating plantar fasciitis?
For plantar fasciitis, typically that is a more acute phenomenon. And by and large, it is arch pain, not heel pain, from a differential diagnosis point of view. When the toes are extended, when you passively extend the toes, the plantar fascia itself, when it's inflamed, is very painful in that position. So in that scenario, we're looking at things to calm the tissue down, whether it be a pulsed ultrasound or iontophoresis or ice even. And then the more specific thing from my perspective is, why did it develop?
Mm-hmm.
Was it an acute injury? Did you, step on the shovel wrong? Or is it from abnormal use of a shoe, biomechanical limitations, flexibility limitations? So break down what caused it, not just, okay, the arch hurts, let's hit it with some ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
I think that becomes a bigger issue. If it is, in fact, the plantar fascia that's in question.
Right. And is it, if I do have plantar fasciitis, is it just an assumed outcome that I'm going to get better?
Yeah. Well, and the research is very clear with true plantar fasciitis that it will heal regardless of treatment. The problem with that is, depending on who you read, that could be anywhere from 6 months to 3 years before the symptoms go away.
Oh, wow.
And ultimately, it scars itself down to the point that you no longer disrupt the scar tissue, and that's a quote-unquote healing. Our goal as therapists is, to expedite that process. And for the large majority of patients, six visits or so, provided you have a compliant patient, you can see very significant reduction in their symptoms.
So if I'm right now treating someone and I'm not seeing some progress or some improvement in six visits, would that be an indication I might be treating the wrong thing?
Certainly plausible. And the easiest differential diagnosis would be extend the toes. If that doesn't increase the symptoms, there's a potential that you don't have a plantar fascia problem.
Okay.
And many of the cases, the symptoms actually reduce when you extend the toes.
Okay.
And that should be a red flag to you that the plantar fascia is not causing pain. It's actually helping you.
I'll be darned. You said there's 72 common misdiagnoses for plantar fasciitis. What are some of the others that you can mention?
Fat pad atrophy is a common one. We certainly have already mentioned heel pain syndrome. That's the most common. Tarsal tunnel syndrome, entrapment of the first branch of the lateral plantar nerve, seronegative spondyloarthropathies, you know, like a systemic issue, like rheumatoid arthritis type things. So, I mean, you know, the list goes on, but, you know, those are certainly the more more common ones that you may encounter in the clinic.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Anything you want to comment regarding your article as far as some of the main premises of your article?
I think it comes down to the bulk of that is differential diagnosis. You know, because the referral says plantar fasciitis, you know, we have a professional responsibility to look deeper into that and to prove or disprove that and create a PT diagnosis. And you know, I talked about some of the more common mechanisms to rule in or rule out the plantar fascia. And then more importantly, for the more common heel pain syndrome, recognizing this is a chronic phenomenon and you can't use the same anti-inflammatory approaches as you do with plantar fasciitis. I think that's the gist of the article. And then the last portion of it on the evaluation side is, you know, truly understanding foot and ankle biomechanics, that arch height is not the key variable. Rather, the speed and the magnitude of motion of the foot are more predominant variables that are in fact proven in the literature. Hind foot position is not the number one thing we should be looking at. The research shows that even with a good custom orthotic, we see 6 to 12% change in hind foot position. So, you know, certainly we wouldn't want our patients comfortable with we're going to charge a lot of money for an orthotic for a 6% change.
Yeah.
But you know, I think clinically it's well considered that orthotics are very effective when prescribed appropriately. The issue being when they control the speed and the magnitude of pronation or supination, the abnormal motion, if you will, that's where the effectiveness lies.
Yeah. And then I have to ask you a last question. Does iontophoresis for plantar fasciitis work?
It can. If it is plantar fasciitis and it's treated acutely. And I use it if it's less than 1 month duration since the onset of symptom.
Okay.
That would be a time when I would consider it, and certainly the pain is worse when the toes are extended.
Yep.
I would consider that. I don't consider that a cure. That's a symptomatic treatment.
Okay.
The cure is treat what caused it.
Okay. Yeah. And where would you place the pad for the medication?
For true plantar fasciitis, it's going to be in the medial band of the plantar fascia in the middle one-third.
Okay.
Is typically where that the fascia begins to disrupt.
Okay. Very good. I bet our listeners found this helpful, especially if they're seeing any kind of that foot pain coming in, to make sure you gave them some good tips on how to make sure it is plantar fasciitis. So thank you, Dr. Bailey, for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you have been listening to Dr. Josh Bailey, who is the managing partner president of Rehabilitation Associates of Central Virginia. Which town is that in, Dr. Bailey?
Lynchburg, Virginia.
Lynchburg, Virginia. So if you're out that way, be sure and wave at least as you drive by. How about that? You probably don't want a bunch of people stopping in, but if someone wanted to contact you, Dr. Bailey, would you be interested in providing further information?
Absolutely. The easiest way to reach us is our website, and that's www.racva.com. And we have all our staff bios there and phone numbers and email addresses. So please check us out.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Now, again, happy birthday to PT Talker 100th episode today. And I want to thank you for listening in as we've been talking to our expert for this week. And like we do each and every week, bring you more expertise to help you hopefully become a better physical therapist in this great industry of helping people to get well. And I hope you'll do that today. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.